The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, and we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And as always, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know in the comment section below if whatever platform you're on, if you are joining us either live or by the rebroadcast of this on Rumble on YouTube or on the pod or the app. Please let us know if there's a place to comment, if you're new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. We always love to hear from you. And speaking of the app, if you've not downloaded our free app yet, please get it today. It is free for your convenience. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. There you can keep up with all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast that you can either watch or listen or both at your leisure. Again, if you're watching this via by Facebook, by YouTube, or by Rumble, there is a section where it says download our free app. There's going to be a link available for you. Click the link. It's going to take you to a page where you can download the app. If you're listening by Spotify or by podcast, again, go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can click on download our free app or free app, or you can just go straight to the Apple or Android Play Store and you can download the app from there. Today, I want to be dealing with a particular subject on Israel is preparing for a famine. But I want to talk to you on how this latest headline, I'm going to show you the headline in just a moment. There's a headline that came out recently dealing with the nation of Israel and what they're doing to prepare for the coming global famine that is now not something that's being touted by small individuals or a small group of individuals or world leaders here and there, but this has become global. And I'm going to show you how a headline that came out of Israel 365 News on how Israel is dealing with this and how this could directly be one of the hooks in the jaws that leads the nations of Ezekiel 38, 39, which is the Gog and Magog war to come to fruition. So without further ado, let's get after this. I want to show you the headline first, and then we'll discuss this. This is the actual headline. Israel heeds Joseph's advice and stocks up on wheat for upcoming famine. Again, this is a direct headline from Israel365news.com. And I want to read you a little bit of this, and then we'll pull this into how I believe this could be one of the hooks, plural tense, in the jaws. Citing fears of possible shortages amid the Ukraine crisis, Israel's transportation minister instructed that cargo ships importing grain and animal feed be given priority for unloading at the port docks over the next month. The solution of stocking up on grains before a predicted famine mirrors that of the Bible's Joseph. Joseph, son of Jacob, was promoted to be the prince of Egypt after interpreting a dream given by Pharaoh of a withering grain stock, of withering grain stocks devouring healthy ones as an imminent famine was on the horizon in Egypt. Joseph then, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, 36, he advised Pharaoh to stock up on wheat in order to have enough reserves once the famine would come. And we know that this would be a famine that would last 7 years. Now we fast forward thousands of years later. We're here in 2022, and Israel appears to be heeding Joseph's advice once again in prioritizing wheat over imported goods. In fact, according to Israel's transportation minister, they quote, "We face challenges to our food security at the time being because of the worrying developments in Ukraine." He went on to say that, quote, "The state of Israel must safeguard its food security by strengthening our domestic agriculture, taking steps to get the grain that Israel or that Israeli agriculture relies on. The nation will quickly ensure that we maintain Israeli food security despite changes worldwide. According to the statements, shipping and ports head Yigal Mior already took, quote, several steps to implement that decision. Earlier that week, Israel 365 News reported that the United Nations also warned of global food shortages, and David Beasley, the United Nations World Food Program's executive director, warned that the conflict in Ukraine could spark a refugee crisis worse than that has ever been seen in history, and a global food crisis in a combination he described as hell. Again, that's Israel 365 News. Now, if you couple this with another headline that we reported about a month ago, when probably about 3 weeks ago, when the Russian-Ukraine crisis began to intensify, and Europe began to warn that there would be a fuel or there would be a gas crisis. And this was an amazing headline that came out of the Middle East, and it came out of many Israeli affiliates. Quote, can Israel become Europe's gas supplier? With Europe realizing its complete dependency on Russian gas, and it played with the right cards, the crisis in Ukraine can be an opportunity for Israeli gas exportation to Europe. Now, why is this intriguing? Why is this important? And why is this a voice of topic of discussion today from a prophetic perspective? Again, if you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 38, it speaks of a coming prophetic war of Gog and Magog. This is called the Gog and Magog War, which consequently southern Soviet Russian states are involved, along with nations like Turkey and Iran and other nations. There's seven nations in whole that are involved in this war. And when you get into this, war in the future, I emphasize on a earlier program that there was three key nations that we really need to pay attention to. I know the world is focused right now on Russia and Ukraine, but Turkey and Iran, the Bible calls them ancient Persia and Israel. Turkey, Iran, and Israel are the three main players that we really need to be paying attention to, because if we are really thrusting headlong into this prophetic war of Gog and Magog, these three nations are going to become on the forefront. But I want to home in today on Ezekiel 38. There's going to be two parts to today's program. The first part is we're going to talk about what we're talking about right now, and then I'm going to shift gears and I'm going to talk about something on the latter part of this program that the mainstream media has seemed to be very quiet on, that I think we need to be really paying attention to, that's going to really play a role into the famine and the food shortages. Ezekiel 38, 3 and 4. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I, the Lord, will turn you around, put hooks, plural tense, into your jaws, plural tense, and lead you out with all of your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Now, according to this scripture of Ezekiel 38, 3 and 4, God is going to put hooks, plural tense, and jaws, plural tense. Hooks meaning more than one thing is going to drive these nations, plural tense, that's why there's jaws and not one jaw, and drive them in to invade the nation of Israel. It is of my opinion that it's not just going to be gas or oil that's going to be the driving factor to pull these nations in, but now we can see how it's going to be a food shortage. It's going to be a famine that is going to entice these nations who are going to be suffering from a global famine in the future. They're going to have wheat shortages. They're going to have food shortages. They're going to possibly have water shortages that's going to result in water wars. That's a real thing, water wars. And because of that, and because Israel is applying biblical principles, and because God has a covenant with Israel that goes all the way back to Genesis 12 with Abraham, and because Israel has prophecies that has been foretold over them that declares that in the latter days of Israel's existence, that they would fulfill prophecies, that they would flourish again, that they would thrive again, that they would prosper again. They would be a source of water. They would be a source of agriculture. They would be a source of oil. Because now watch this. I'm painting this picture to you. Here you have the nation of Israel that is like the lone nation in the Middle East in the time of the end, when the time of this Ezekiel 38-39 war comes to fruition. You have this nation of Israel that is flourishing, it is prospering, it is producing, it is multiplying, it is increasing, while all the surrounding nations that are predominantly Arab nations are in drought, are in famine, are in shortage, that are declining. You can now see how it's going to be an enticement, and how I'm just telling you that this could be one of many hooks, plural tense, in the jaws that will ultimately pull those nations into invading Israel. Here's another headline for you. Or actually, it's a couple of headlines. Even United States President Joe Biden is now coming out saying, expect it to happen. Expect real food shortages because of the Ukraine war. And guys, it may not be happening now for us. And I've said this, and I'm going to keep beating this drum, or I'm going to keep beating this dead horse, whatever illustration you want. But just because we don't, quote unquote, see it now at our front doorstep does not mean 6 months from now, 5 months from now, when we get into the fall months, we get into the winter months, that's when I believe that this is going to come to the door of the United States. Look at this. The skyrocketing price of fertilizer has caused a worldwide nightmare that global leaders can no longer deny. I'm going to give you a little bit of this. This is a report from Michael Snyder. Again, we share a lot of his articles here. And he goes on and says that what we're seeing with this fertilizer shortage is going to impact every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet. For the past couple of years, there has been warning after warning that a major global food crisis was on the horizon. But now in recent months, this is coming up multiple times per week. But the problem is most people are ignoring it. Most people are dismissing it. Listen, you know how difficult it is right now to even find articles to research on what's going on in the world, because I have to fish through 6,000 different sources and articles about Chris Rock and Will Smith. I'm so sick of hearing about the Chris Rock and Will Smith slapping incident that took place at the Oscars. Okay, it was shocking. It happened. We get it. There was an apology, blah, blah, blah. Let's move on. My Lord, how many different aspects, how many different angles, how many different articles, how many different podcasts, how many different blogs can we talk about the same situation? But it's amazing, because the world is talking about, they're so shocked and they're so moved by emotion and passion about that situation. And all the while, we're in a real crisis taking place, dealing with famine, dealing with wars, dealing with everything that's going on. And people don't even want to talk about that. It's swept under the rug. It's ignored. It's snuffed out. Again, priority. We see where the prioritization of people, especially Americans, are in stuff like this. And the way that we're, it's kind of like the whole saying, playing the fiddle while Rome burns to the ground. President Joe Biden said that the world will experience food shortages as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and production increases were a subject of discussions at a Group of Seven meeting on Thursday, on this past Thursday. Quote, "It's going to be real," said Biden at a news conference in Brussels. "The price of the sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It is imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and ours as well."
With regard to food shortage, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well. And because both Russia and Ukraine have been the breadbasket of Europe in terms of wheat, for example, just to give one example. But we had a long discussion in the G7 with the United States, which has the third largest producer of wheat in the world, as well as Canada, which is also a major, major producer. And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages. In addition to that, we talked about urging all the European countries and everyone else to end trade restrictions on sending limitations on sending food abroad. And so we are in the process of working out with our European friends what it would be, what it would take to help alleviate the concerns relative to food shortages.
So remember in Russia, remember where we talked about how in grocery stores there was lines and there was people packed in grocery stores and people lined up all the way out the door, and they were hoarding food. They were hoarding boxes and hoarding canned goods and all that stuff. Remember that? Remember when we saw that in America because people were panicking about COVID? And now we're seeing this in Russia because they're panicking because of the sanctions that is hitting the normal civilians and the normal citizens. And again, here in America, it's Charlie Brown's cheat teacher. It's not come to our doorstep, so therefore we ignore it. Some of y'all checked out. I watched the amount of people that came on here live, and because we've talked about this subject in the past, probably often they they check out. Yeah, I've heard that. That's old news. But I'm telling you, when the fall comes and the winter comes, we'll see how this starts knocking at the door.
Significant food shortages, not just on Ukraine or Russia, but on the rest of the world, including America. If I may, please, please, when you're at a store, buy two of anything you can buy two of. I'm not asking you to hoard. That is going to become very unpopular. And I don't want you to panic. I just want you to go out, and if something is on sale or you're buying macaroni and cheese and you need one box, buy two. And every time you go shopping, buy two of whatever it is that you need. Instead of one, just start with that. Buy two and only use one. Everything, forget about food shortages, which are coming. Inflation is going to be outrageous by this time next year. I have no idea. Food shortages and inflation. I guarantee you, just by not panicking, just by buying two every time you go shopping and only using one, by this time next year, you will have made more money in just what you're saving because you can dip into your food shortage. You will make more money just on that food that you have and the food that you are now, the money you're saving by not buying that food at the high price. It will boggle your mind how much you're saving.
One of the biggest reasons why the outlook for the months ahead is so grim is due to the soaring cost of fertilizer. The American Farm Bureau Federation is telling us that in some cases, the price of fertilizer has risen over 300%. Fertilizer is a nest, and by the way, fertilizer is an essential for farmers, allowing them to achieve the high yields needed to meet demand and keep their operations afloat. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, fertilizer costs have risen as much as 300% in some areas, adding significant pressure to farmers' pocketbooks. As global energy prices continue to go higher and higher, so shall be the price of fertilizer. And now the war in Ukraine has threatened to make things even worse because Russia is such a key exporter of various fertilizer. And by the way, I just want to go on track and say this. As of this right now, there is reports coming out that Russia has begun to reduce its forces or is pulling out a lot of its forces out of certain key areas in Ukraine. Now, this could be really good news, but time will tell on what's actually going to happen or what will escalate further. Most Americans don't understand that when we sanction other nations, such as Russia, we're also sanctioning ourselves. And by the way, instead of opening up key gas pipelines and drilling here in America, instead the solution coming out of Congress is to begin to write people checks every month or give them gas credits of $100 per family per month. Again, this makes my head explode. So we're going to go into greater deficit. Instead of doing something logical, we're going to do this instead. Sure, it makes perfect sense. For the foreseeable future, the price of fertilizer is going to be incredibly high. Quote, as a result, farmers all over the globe will be using less fertilizer, and this will result in reduced agricultural production. In other words, a lot less food will be grown. And in some instances, farmers that are still waiting to pay for fertilizer are not going to be able to even get it at all. In fact, in certain cases, that is even happening as we speak in the United States. Let me give you this quote. Corn and soybean farmer John Bakehouse faces a daunting question in years past. He's never had to ask for what he could get or what he could apply to his crops within the usual agricultural system. But now the situation has completely shifted. Now, it's interesting, the term here that's used, the verbiage, shifted. If you listen to one of my last podcasts, I talked about how Biden, it was about the New World Order. When Biden got up and spoke and he referenced a New World Order, one of the things he said is that times are shifting or there's a shifting taking place. Now, it's interesting here, this term is now being used by a farmer and he says, but now the situation has completely shifted.
Planting season is just around the corner for farmers, but there's already a lot of stress ahead of the season. With Russia as a top fertilizer exporter, prices have shot to record highs in the last month. 3 News Now Western Iowa reporter Isabella Basco shows us how farmers are bracing for more anxiety amidst the crisis abroad.
Corn and soybean farmer John Bakehouse is facing a daunting question. In our current agriculture system, he's never had to ask for what he could get or what he could apply. Now the situation has completely shifted.
For the first time, we're talking about it's simply not available. Fertilizer is simply not available. Some chemicals are simply not available. So for the first time, you kind of recognize we're standing on a bit of a three-legged stool with one of the legs starting to weaken.
Bakehouse says his biggest concern is timing. It's too late to consider alternative forms of fertilizer for a corn crop.
If, for instance, we were only able to get half of our fertilizer needs, it would cut into the yields, corn yields, substantially, probably at least 30%, perhaps higher, depending on the year.
Cattle and crop farmer Zach Kennedy is expecting to pay double for his nitrogen fertilizer, saying the crisis's timing is adding more stress.
Going ahead, we're going to use more manure. We're trying to use other sources of fertility. And going ahead, we're also maybe going to have to look at some different crop rotations, you know, maybe bringing in a small grain or something like that to stretch our cycles out a little bit and not have to rely on so much commercial fertilizer to get things done.
Amidst all the uncertainty, both Bakehouse and Kennedy hope farmers recognize how dependent they are on inputs from other countries.
We're very dependent on suppliers and buyers. And so what I've been most interested in is growing our own nutrients, using livestock to reduce some of that reliance on the supply chain.
It's hard to figure out right where you need to be and be making some money at it, too.
In Western Iowa, Isabella Basco, 3 News Now.
Kennedy says we're also short on a world basis of grains, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And with many of these grown in Ukraine, the prices will still stay volatile.
Again. But we would not notice that until the harvest season in the fall months. Sadly, quote, there are millions upon millions of other farmers all over the world that are being faced with these incredibly difficult choices as we speak. So this, again, in the first half, I talked about how Israel is putting forth measures that I believe is setting them up for the hooks in the jaws of the nations mentioned in Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38. But now we're shifting gears. Now, listen, the mainstream media, even Biden in the White House, is talking about this right here, the wheat shortages, the fertilizer shortages, and expect that to happen. Expect the food shortages. But I want to shift gears, and I want to talk to you about something that I'm not hearing a lot of the mainstream media that's talking about this. And this is happening. This is happening, and it is stunning, and it is chilling, and this is going to have a major impact on poultry, on food as well. Now, this is another headline that was shared, that we shared on our main website as well. U.S. death toll rises to 14.6 million. Now, that's not talking about people. It's talking about turkey and chicken, turkeys and chickens that have died off, 14.6 million, and that's an estimated figure, from this bird flu plague that is continuing to spread like wildfire all over the globe.
A highly contagious strain of avian flu is spreading to several states in the U.S. Wisconsin is the latest state to report finding H5N1, the scientific name for the avian flu, after discovering it in a commercial chicken flock. Avian flu has now been found in 15 states. Infectious disease expert Dr. William Schaffner told CBS News,
"Influenza strains can affect all kinds of animals, including birds. In fact, very prominently, they can affect both migratory birds as well as domestic poultry."
The CDC says there have been no detected human cases of H5N1. Cross-species spread is possible, though not likely.
It's a very rare event. It requires very close association of the human with the bird. And then a lot of virus gets down deep into the human's lungs. They can become sick, but then it's very rare for them to transmit it to anyone else.
Though rare, avian flu can cause serious illness in humans. It's treated with antiviral drugs like Tamiflu. Meanwhile, commercial poultry flocks have been culled in an attempt to slow or halt the flu's spread.
Quote, in the United States and all across the world, millions upon millions of chickens and turkeys are dying as a result of an absolute horrific new bird flu plague that is not dying off, it's not going away, and it's not dissipating. Considering the fact that global food supplies have become extremely tight as it is, and And the recent warnings that we've been given all the way from the United Nations to the White House, that food shortages are looming, this is definitely something, quote, that we definitely don't need at this time. The very first confirmed case of this highly pathogenic avian influenza as a commercial flock in the U.S. was confirmed on the 8th of February. And in less than 2 months now, or 60 days, it is now spread to facilities all across the nation. Sadly, we are just now learning that it has now even reached the top turkey producing state in the entire country. Quote, for the first time, highly pathogenic avian influenza was confirmed in Minnesota, the top turkey producing state in the nation. According to agricultural officials, over this past weekend, some 14.6 million birds in domestic flocks have died of HPAI, or encoaling of infected herds, to reduce the spread of this plague. So again, in less than 2 months, over 14 million chickens and turkeys in the U.S. have already been wiped out by this. I'm going to just read this to you. Quote, if things are this bad already, what will the total death toll look like 6 months from now? One expert was recently interviewed by NBC News and said that he is anticipating, quote, an explosion of new cases in the weeks ahead. Let me give you this quote from him. Quote, the measures may do little to stop the spread of the virus, according to Henry Nieman, a virologist and biochemist in Pittsburgh, who has been tracking this bird flu since its beginning and its origin and its spread. He is expecting an explosion of bird flu cases and birds in the coming weeks. Quote, this outbreak, I think, is likely going to get larger than the one in 2015. He went on to say that, quote, noting that this disease is already widespread in other regions of the world, such as Europe and Canada. If this man is correct, we are looking down the barrel of a potential crisis of a national catastrophe. Of course, it's not just the U.S., guys. In Canada, this bird flu has been confirmed, and even in southern Ontario. According to a source there, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency has confirmed that bird flu has been found at a poultry farm in southern Ontario. The agency says the farm is under a strict quarantine and the CFIA is establishing movement controls and recommending higher biosecurity at nearby farms. Europe and Asia are being struck with this very hard as well. For example, a new outbreak was just detected at a large facility in Bulgaria. Quote, an outbreak of bird flu on Bulgarian farm with over 177,000 laying hens has forced authorities to begin slaughtering the remaining flock of the country's food safety, according to the food safety agency there on Monday. The outbreak in one town is the sixth industrial farm that has been struck by the highly pathogenic avian influenza type A in southern Bulgaria since December. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about pestilences, plagues, and famines that what was once to be perceived as something third world country is now coming and knocking at our door in America. Quote, at first, U.S. consumers were willing to absorb higher prices as inflation began to ravage our economy, but now we are starting to witness an entire shift. Here's that word shift again. U.S. households have until recently mostly absorbed higher prices on everything from coffee to chicken to clothes, helping companies maintain fat profit margins despite higher input. But that doesn't mean consumers were happy about paying more for the same goods, which is why the University of Michigan sentiment index has steadily deteriorated to the lowest since 2011. An average trip to the grocery store in America is becoming increasingly painful for most Americans. And this could be, guys, the tip of the iceberg when you put wheat shortages, fertilizer shortages, bird flu hitting poultry, and continual war with Russia and Ukraine and the shortages going on. When you put all this in the bag and you mix it up, it spells a global catastrophe of biblical proportions. And that's why, again, I keep emphasizing that when you go down here to the book of Revelation chapter 6, and you get to the one of the black horse, which is the black horse and rider. That's what my brain was trying to tell me, or my mouth was trying to say before my mouth could get it, or my brain could compute it. When you get here to Revelation 6, it tells you that when this black horse and rider begins to gallop in the tribulation. Now, again, we're at the birth pangs. We're not in the tribulation. We are at the birth pangs of the Messiah. But I believe if we're this close, then the horses are on deck and their riders. And when we get to this black horse rider, it tells us that the condition of the earth is so bad that a loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a whole day's pay or day's wages. Now, again, what seemed to be way in the future, when we read about this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, this didn't really set it home for us, but now we can see where we are accelerating towards the fulfillment of this, possibly in our lifetime. What are you saying, Brother Ricky? The tribulation could start in our lifetime? Absolutely. What I'm saying is, I'm going to echo what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 21, 28. He said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. This is why week after week, we keep reiterating and we keep warning and we keep sounding the alarm and we keep telling you it's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop living on the fence. It's time to stop living lukewarm. It's time to get right or get left. It's time to be on God's side and on the winning side. Because again, I'm going to say it again. You and I do not want to be here and left behind and go through what we read about in Revelation 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and all the way to the end of the book. But the good, I leave you with some redemptive hope today and some good news today. Jesus said, these things are going to happen. They're going to happen like birth pangs. They're going to increase. They're going to become more widespread. They're going to become more intensity. They're going to come with more intensity. But remember, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, what did he say? He said, look up, lift up your heads. Why are we looking up and lifting up our heads? Oh, come on, somebody. Because our help comes from the Lord. He's coming out of heaven. There's going to be a voice and a shout and the voice of a trumpet with the archangel, the shout of the voice of God. And come on, there's going to be a remnant. The blood bought born again church who is looking for his coming are going to hear the words come up here. And in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, come on somebody, we shall put off mortality and put on immortality, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm not telling you to walk around with your head stuck up in the air and not be about God's kingdom and to be about God's kingdom business. Don't misconstrue what I'm telling you today. I'm not telling you to be lethargic. I'm not telling you to bury your head in the sand. I'm not telling you to be so rapture-minded that you are no good on the earth and spreading the gospel. Listen, I believe, unlike the accusations of many of my brothers and sisters that always attack me about believing in the rapture and always want to accuse me of leading people astray and not getting them ready and prepared for the kingdom, which is ridiculous. If you know our ministry and you've been with us for any length of time, you know that we are constantly, week after week, always preparing the bride to be ready for his coming. And that means to be sanctified. That means to be holy. And that means to be righteous. And that means to be watchful. And that means to be praying. And that means to be ready. For we don't know the day nor the hour that the Lord is coming, but we know the times and seasons. And listen to me, if you really believe that the Lord was on the brink of returning and splitting the eastern sky, then this should prompt you all the more to get up and to get out the door and to witness this gospel even more so with more urgency, because you will realize that the people you work with, they need to be ready. They're not ready. They're going to be left behind. They're going to be lost. They're dying and going to hell. Your family members, your friends, your neighbors. This kind of message today should put an urgency in your spirit and in your heart to make you more of a soul winner. God did not save you and I so that we, come on, can sit on our couch and fill our heads with all this knowledge of the Bible. What good is it if we know all these things? Come on, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, without love, I could give my body to be burned. I could on a stake. I could give everything I have away. I could be able to speak mysteries. I could speak revelations. I could speak the tongues of angels. But if I don't have love for my neighbor, if I don't have love for people, if I don't have compassion for people, he said, I am nothing but a bunch of noise. I'm a clanging cymbal. I've become an echo. And guys, this has nothing to do with ethnicity, but this is a term. I have become nothing but white noise. You want to know what white noise? Listen, white noise is a consistent sound that at first you hear it and you acknowledge it, but eventually it becomes comfort to you and you're no longer alarmed, or you're no longer, it does no longer startle you, but it's become a comfort to you and it just lures you asleep. In the natural, I like to sleep with a little fan on because I like the sound of the white noise. It's a consistent noise of the fan and it's comfortable. Some of you like the sound of rain. Some of you like your television on. Some of you like the radio on or whatever it is. It's a constant white noise. Friends, I'm afraid that many of us has allowed the urgency of the watchman to become, at one time, it was something that startled you. It was something that captured your attention. But if we're careful, we will allow it to become white noise. Yeah, I've heard all that. Yada, yada, yada. It's Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. They've been saying, and I see Christians, professed believers constantly saying that all over social media. Yeah, I've heard this. Yeah, this is nothing new. And then what happens is, watch this, they become desensitized to the warnings. They become lukewarm, and eventually they progress from that state, and then they become what Peter calls scoffers that come in the last days, and they're walking around accusing watchmen and prophets and preachers and people like Noah that are warning the people. And they will accuse him and say, where is the promise of his coming? You don't think they did that to Noah when he preached for 100 or 200 years or however many years he preached? Consistently, a flood's coming, judgment's coming, the wrath of God's coming. And it became wah, 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 wah. It became white noise. Yeah, we've heard that, preacher. It ain't even rain, dummy. You keep telling us it's going to rain and it's going to flood the earth, and we ain't even seen a drop of rain. We ain't ever seen rain fall from heaven, because the Bible says that the earth watered the vegetation by a mist that came up out of the garden. So the fact that the heavens opened and the rain fell from above was something they never saw before. And Noah was telling them, there's an event coming that you've never seen, you've never experienced, and you've never witnessed before, but God said it's coming. And they mocked him and they ridiculed him. And I'm going to tell, listen, I will not back down. I don't care how many followers I lose, because I'm not in this thing for followers and popularity. I know we've been preaching about a rapture. I don't see it. I've never witnessed it. I've never experienced it. I can't find it in the Bible. And therefore, they mock us. They ridicule us. But I got news for you. It's been practiced before. Oh, come on, somebody. Enoch was walking with God and was just and righteous before him. And the Bible said he was taken alive. He was caught up into the third heaven, or he was caught up into heaven alive. He did not die, but was caught up in heaven. I will remind you that Elijah the prophet was caught up in a chariot of fire and never saw physical death. I will remind you that when we get to Revelation 11 in the tribulation, where the two witnesses are slain by the Antichrist and lay in the streets for three or three and a half days, and men pass gifts one another, God will put up with it for so long. But after 3 or 3 and a half days, the Bible says that there will be a sound from heaven, the voice of God, that will say, come up here, and they will be caught up to heaven. So listen, I'm not concerned about God not having practice with this, because he's had plenty of practice doing it, because he's done it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And Paul said by revelation of the Lord that there's coming a day, whether you believe it's pre, mid, post, or you don't believe it at all, the Bible, he wrote to the church of Thessalonica, and he told them, he said, there is coming. He said, in fact, let me just read it to you. I want to read Paul's writings here, because come on, I feel like preaching a little bit. But I do not want you to, listen what Paul said. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have died in him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This was not his opinion. This was by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive at the time of this event and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, or those who are alive at this event and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This, my friend, is an event that has not happened ever in our lifetimes or in previous generations, but it is a future event. This event is not some fabrication. It didn't come through some secret meeting with some prophetic word by some woman. This was not just written in some study Bible and fabricated by a denomination. No, these were the writings of the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, and it was a revelation of the Lord and a word from the Lord, and he gave it to us as brothers and sisters, and he said, now you go, listen to me, I'm going to paraphrase what Paul said, no matter how bad it looks out there, it's going to get bad. Perilous times is going to come. There's coming a falling away. There's coming a defection of truth. There's coming many that shall depart from the faith. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be desolations and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and disasters. And there's going to be false prophets and deception. All this is going to happen. But you go comfort one another with these words, that the day is coming that the Lord is going to stand over the banister of heaven. There's going to come a shout, there's going to come a voice, and there's going to be a generation that is alive and remaining when this event takes place. And and he says over in the church, he says to the church of Corinth, and he's speaking about this same event, and he says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be transformed. We shall be transformed. Come on, so this is a real event and it's time. Come on, don't be embarrassed to preach on it. Listen, I'm not going to shy it away, because if I deny this event, I'm denying the very word of God, because it's there. It's if I deny this event, I might as well take my Bible and rip that entire section out and throw it in the garbage. I'm tired of people picking, cherry picking, and choosing what scriptures they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe based on somebody's opinion, based on whether they're going to get persecution, whether they're going to get popular, whether they're going to lose followers. Am I going to lose my faithful tithers because I'm preaching something that might offend them? Listen, Paul said it like this. He said, if I desired to be popular with men, I would have never preached the gospel. He said, but I preached the gospel because I was called not by men, but by God to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So listen, I want you, come on, just take a deep breath. I know I've got some of y'all fired up today, like just like I'm fired up today. Listen, it's the worst of times, but it's the best of times. It's the darkest hour, but it's the church's finest hour. It's time that we be fishers of men. It's time that we get up and we go out into the highways and byways and we compel them to come into the house of the Lord. Stop getting tangled up in the affairs of life and what's going on at the Oscars and what's going on with Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson and all this other stuff. The devil's distracting you with. Get back into the word. Get back into his presence. Get back into the prayer closet. My God, get back into the church, somebody. Get back into the body of Christ. Get yourself back on fire and back on track. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. It's going to be, let me pull this up for you guys. Right here on your screen is where you can get the app. Again, don't forget to download the app. It's on Apple. It's on Android. It's free. Download it today and catch up with our headlines. Again, you can subscribe to our websites, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to come on here, listen to our message, listen what this preacher has to say today. I pray that this today's been a word of encouragement. It's been a blessing. It's been exhortation. It's been information, or all the above. As always, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a blessing to you in any way, form, or fashion, depending on your relationship that this ministry has with you, we just ask that you pray about becoming a partner with us. And you could do that two different ways. You can give by the app, or you can give through the main website electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to right there on your screen. If you're listening today, it's at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And as always, we love you guys. We appreciate you taking time out here today to be a part of our message. We're going to sign off for today. We will not be here tomorrow because I actually have to, I won't be here on our podcast, but I have to teach at our local church. I teach prophecy, Bible prophecy classes on Wednesday nights. at our church. So we probably won't be on here most of the time on Wednesday nights, but we'll be back on here on Thursday, Lord willing, and we'll bring you another encouraging or informative message or podcast or segment, what our talking point or whatever the Lord puts on our heart. We'll just pray about that and see what we come up with it. So until then, guys, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share this. Again, we're on, for you guys that are watching this, we're on Spotify and we're on Apple. And of course, if you have the app, you'll have that all there on as well. That's why we always encourage you to get the app. We're on Rumble, we're on YouTube, and we're on almost every alternative social media outlet outside of Facebook and Twitter. We're on Parler, MeWe, we're on Getter, G-E-T-T-R. We're on Telegram, we're on all those as well. So look for us, look for our official ETH logo and be blessed by that. So may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance be upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.